Would you turn with me to the second book of Chronicles, the 29th chapter? The 29th chapter of Chronicles. Details of people that were in decline. And the Lord was moving to restore. The nation of Judah is destroyed under King Ahaz. If you read the 28th chapter, it talks about King Ahaz. He was an evil king, virtually destroyed the nation. But God used his son, Hezekiah, to bring revival back to the land. And that pattern for spiritual revival and renewal in the life of a Christian is revealed following the king's road to a wholehearted revival. And that's what we're here, because we need revival. In 2 Chronicles, the 29th chapter, verse 1 and 2, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old. And he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David, his father, had done. And what we find and see, revival will not come until the leadership is revived. Revival will not come until the leadership is revived. I need revival. We need revival. Leaders lead. And the greatest example of spiritual leadership is when leaders lead with all their heart. Everything is on the table. It's about our commitment, our steadfastness, our perseverance, our endurance, our spiritual influence, and our faithfulness. A primary need is revival. People who are wholeheartedly committed, loyal, dedicated, devoted, steadfast, persevering, enduring, and a strong witness for Christ. After the king Ahaz brought ruin upon Judah through war and the closing of the Lord's temples, the Lord caused enemies to rise up against them. If you read the 28th chapter, hundreds of thousands were slain. Many were taken captive, and they closed the Lord's temple. No longer prayer, no longer burning of incense. The nation was in desperate need. Its economy was wrecked, and its military had declined severely. There was no courageous, godly leadership to restore the nation, especially as long as King Ahaz was still on the throne. But God saw the devastation. And while Ahaz was still living, he prepared a son to bring the people back to God. Although Hezekiah was raised in one of the most ungodly environments you could imagine, he came to know the Lord in a personal way. Some people use the excuse, well, my background, my parents, they weren't spiritual, blah, blah, blah. We all have choices. Certainly there's influence, parental influence, but we have choices to make. You may ask, how was this young man raised up by one of the most ungodly kings because the Bible describes him. I think it's in Kings. He was one of the best kings. There was none like him ever. How did it happen? We don't discount the fact that God works in mysterious ways. Praise God. And remember, we read about Hezekiah's mother was the daughter of Zechariah, who advised King Uzziah and served as a witness for the prophet Isaiah. So there was some spiritual background that Hezekiah was exposed to. No matter how bad your family history is, God is able, through the power of Jesus Christ, help you to overcome. Praise God. We can't say there's an excuse. Well, this or that. No, we have a choice. And the God of this universe, the God will reach to us and expose us to what is the truth. One fact that all revivals in Scripture have in common, that every spiritual awakening begins with leadership. A revived, wholehearted leadership will be the inspiration to lead revival among the people. Revival will never come to the church until spiritual leadership is revived. And King Hezekiah called in this chapter for three things: for separation, for surrender, and for sacrifice. And I believe God is speaking to us this morning in the same way. A call for separation. If you'll go with me to the third verse. He, in the first year of the reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, "Hear me, ye Levites, listen to me. Sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord, of your Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs. Also, they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offering in the holy place unto the God of Israel." Oh, Father, help us this morning. Ahaz went back to idol worship, child sacrifice. Stopped the burning of incense. Hezekiah recognized his own need and the need of the leaders of God's people. And I want you to hear this. No organization will ever rise corporately above the level of commitment found in their leaders. If the leaders don't lead, and brother, that's calling us out, starting with me, my brother Mel, my brother Steve, brother Tom, brother Bob. If leaders don't lead, the people are not going to rise. You can't escape it. The tone has to be set at the top. The tone has to be set at the top. Hezekiah could have taken an approach to try and rebuild the economy or the army, but he didn't do that. What was his focus? It was on the spiritual matters. He focused on spiritual reformation, restoring the house of God and prayer. He knew the people would return if they went back to the Lord. The first act was opening the doors of the temple and calling the leaders to challenge them to be spiritually cleansed. The challenge of spiritual separation and repentance focused on three areas of personal purity. Number one, personal repentance. Open the spiritual doors of our lives. Clean out the junk that is keeping us from personal revival. He said, listen to me, Levites. Consecrate yourselves now and consecrate the temple of the Lord, the God of your fathers. Remove all defilements from the sanctuary. Verse 5. In order for there to be spiritual revival, we got to be willing to open the doors. We know what junk is behind the doors. Their own personal lives. Until we have the courage to open those doors, we have locked out the Lord. Lord, help us. It's easy to make excuses for our behavior. It's easy to rationalize how we are. And God's calling us out this morning. He's calling us all out. The second thing of personal purity is corporate repentance. He said, our fathers were faithful and they did evil in the eyes of the Lord our God and forsook him. They turned their faces away from the Lord's dwelling place and turned their backs on him. You notice he didn't say my father, but our fathers, all of us, are part of this. It was not just Ahaz, but it was everyone that forsook the Lord. It starts at the top. You emulate what the leaders do. If the leaders don't lead, what do you expect from the congregation? I'm speaking to us, brothers. And let me be clear, who are the leaders? Who do I consider leaders in this congregation? Certainly the five of us. But I also include the Sunday school teachers, the Sunday school administrators, the board administrators, every board member that served now, before, and will serve are part of this leadership. The choir and the musicians, all part of the leadership. We're all part of this. We're all in this together. I know that's a trite phrase. I don't like to use things like that, but we are in this together. It's not pointing finger. It's her fault, his fault, their fault. We all have a responsibility in this. And the final thing he called out was a repent of prayerlessness. They shut the doors of the porch and put out the lamps. They didn't burn incense or present any burnt offerings in the sanctuary to the God of Israel, a type of prayer. Disallowed any worship. They failed to seek the Lord and the obvious lack of their prayerlessness. I think many more could attend the prayer meetings on Saturday morning. Many could join us before the service on Wednesday night and Sunday night. Do we want revival? Or have we learned to live without it? Everything's okay. We're cruising along. We're in the pretend stage of church. Cruising along. Church, you need to pray for me as your pastor. You need to pray for our staff, pastoral staff, that the Lord would revive us. In verse 20, it says, go with me. Then Hezekiah, the king, rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. And go with me to 27. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offerings upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshiped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. A call for powerful praise. Charles Spurgeon wrote, great preacher, anytime there is a dullness of religion among God's people, their worship is the first spiritual act to fall by the wayside. In every revival recorded in the scripture, a renewed call to personal surrender, demonstrated by a genuine spirit of real worship, was a major factor in bringing about change. Earlier in Chronicles, it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Well, that was for Hezekiah. That was for Israel, Judah. No, it's for us. Lord, help us to worship. Singing we do with our mouth, but worship we do with our hearts, our whole heart. It doesn't come from the mind, it comes from the heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you brought me into the truth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Scriptural worship always involves surrender. Paul wrote in Romans, it's a little different version, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And finally, a call for sacrifice. In verse 31, we read, then Hezekiah answered and said, now you have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings unto the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of the free heart, burnt offerings. The revived heart is a giving heart. It has to be set at the top of the organization. I don't want to sound corporate. I'm talking about the leadership of this church has to set the tone. And we're all part of this in some way or another. Well, I don't have a title, so I'm off the hook. No, you're not. You're not. God's calling you too. We need to pray for the leadership. And perhaps God is calling you to get involved or to do something. I've approached several people about being teachers in the adult class and respectfully declined. I would like to see us have 6 or 7 teachers in that adult class. So God could help each one develop their fullest potential in Christ Jesus. And I ask you to re-examine yourselves. Say, Lord, what do you have for me to do? This scripture parallels, it's analogous to where we are. Oh, we didn't have an evil king it destroyed the church. No, we had an experience 8 years ago, almost to the day, where we witnessed a very ugly, ugly demonstration of carnality. I wanted to appoint, add three additional deacons, elevate Brother Steve to the position of elder, and was met with great, great refusal. Something that left a stain on this church that will take a long time to erase. It has weakened us. Some have left. I don't need this. Some family members that were not coming yet were scandalized. And for what? Did I want to change the doctrine? No. Did I embezzle money from the church? No. Did I have an affair with someone in the congregation? No. I wanted to add three deacons and elevate a brother to the position of elder. The Lord had dealt with me about Brother Steve about a year before that God wanted him to be in the ministry. And he's placed him where he needs to be at this time. Much poison was spread. People form their opinions without any facts. My actions were judged before even the official announcement. And that came from the pastoral staff because they're the only ones I told. In my 78 years, I've been in front of this congregation all my life. The last 32 years I've been in ministry. Have I been perfect? No. I've been as transparent as I know how to be. And when the big event happened, people retreated to their corners. Some were in this corner, some were in that corner, and there were some in the middle, didn't know what to think. Only one person came to me and said, "Brother Ron, what's the story?" Everybody had their mind made up. One young person passed a note to another young person 2 weeks before it happened and said, "Something is going to happen bad this morning. Brother Ron's going to fire two deacons." Where did that come from? We have got to come together. If we don't come together, the future of this church is uncertain. I tell you this from the bottom of my heart. I've agonized over this for 8 years. Lord, what do I do? What have I done? What have I missed? Have I displeased you? No reasons were given for the rejection. Oh, maybe one. A brother danced with his wife one time in a past marriage, year past or so. And his wife at the time was judged not to have been baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I said, "That's not the unpardonable sin to me." And I talked to the brother He understood. And we come to find out his wife was baptized with the Holy Ghost because when he was deathly ill, she prayed over him in tongues all night. And we heard that morning, this is not of the Lord. In my entire ministry, I preach probably twice a week minimum. I can handle the Word of God. But a decision like this is not right. Not of the Lord. And what was revealed later on, 3 years ago, a perceived power struggle. Why am I telling you this? I want to clear the air. I love my brothers. We've had disagreements, but I love my brothers. But I love this work of God even more. And I want to see it. I want to see it grow, and I want to see it prosper. And I say, Lord, you got to help us. You got to help us in this day because we're not together yet. I've been hindered to have the Holy Supper. I'm tired of pretending everything's okay. It's not okay. I want us to be together. Apologies need to be made. Forgiveness needs to be asked. And God is calling us out this morning. And every one of us is responsible for this. Not only the pastoral staff. Instead of believing lies, should have questioned and said, what happened? What's the story here? What's going on? Until the leaders lead, until we come together with one mind and one accord, the Spirit of God is going to be hindered. God is holding back his blessings. I sense it. I feel it in my spirit. We're praying. There's a bunch of us, a group of us that are praying. But God is not pleased. He's holding back his blessings. The song says, raindrops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. I want the showers of blessing. Lord, help us to examine ourselves, every one of us. Say, where am I? Where was I? How did I behave? Did I form conclusions? Or did I go to the Word of God? You know, there's no division in a Holy Ghost church that's walking in the Spirit. Do we always agree on things? No. Our past elders never agreed on everything. When it came down to it at the end, they said, Pastor, you're in charge. You make the final call. Because God is going to hold me accountable. I don't say this lightly. I'm not the king. I'm just a servant. And I understand the responsibility it means to stand in front of the congregation and lift up the Word of God and pray with a clean heart and ask the Lord for forgiveness and mercy and grace. And say, Lord, no matter what is said, no matter what's been done to me, I've got to handle the Word of God, and I've got to lay hands on people and pray for them to get healed. And I can't do that with anything in my heart. It's time to get serious. It's time to put aside whatever's in the way. It's time to follow what God has called us to do and the instructions God has given us. Say, Lord, we want one thing. We want the Holy Spirit to fall. We want revival. We want restoration. We want to see the power of God in operation. Forgive us. Forgive us, all of us. Oh, Father, help us this morning. Hezekiah had a burden. Restore the house of God. Bring back the prayer. Bring back the worship. Let's get back to where we were. You know, the word, I believe, says where much is given, much is required. Brother Bob, thank the Lord for this church. Not that we're something special. We're just like every other church. We all have our problems. But God has blessed us with an understanding of the truth. And the truth that has not changed over the years. We're preaching the same Holy Ghost message. We're preaching the same righteousness message. Not because we're so great, but because of God's mercy and love. We need to examine ourselves. Say, oh, Holy Spirit, would you deal with us individually? You know, you can come to this church Sunday after Sunday and do your duty and still be negligent in your responsibilities. You know that? Well, I did my duty. No, we have a responsibility to one another. The body of Christ edifies itself in love. We don't tear each other down. We lift each other up. We pray for one another because every one of us have faults and failures in our closet. Every one of us are imperfect individuals, saved by the blood of Jesus. I pray for my brothers and the pastoral staff. I pray for the brothers that were rejected on that Sunday morning. They were exemplary individuals. Distinguished track, spiritual track record. Not novices, but men of God. And they were rejected. And I say, Lord, the enemy has tried to work and destroy this church. We're not where we should be. Brother testified this morning. We're not where we should be. And I say, for number one, I'm right there. But I want to see us work together for the good of the gospel message. I want to see the Holy Spirit move. There are very few churches that are preaching the full truth today. Just look around, sample what's on the internet. Very few preaching the full truth. And the enemy is trying to destroy those that are holding forth the doctrine and preaching the truth. And I say, Lord, would you help us and give us wisdom? Give us wisdom. Give us wisdom. Brother Ron, why are you bringing this all out now? This is not edifying. I understand that. The Holy Spirit has been crushing me for the last several months. Things got to change. Things got to change. I look out and I see the declining attendance. And I see those choosing what service they're going to attend and what service they're not. And I see the lack of freedom and the lack of worship at times. I'm not trying to be judgmental here. I'm concerned as the as shepherd of the flock. I'm concerned. God, you started this work with two men moved by the Holy Ghost. It came into a hostile environment and began to preach the word. And from that, the church grew and grew and grew. And we moved here. And the enemy has been attacking. Robbed us of our young people. Lord, help us to be the leaders. And you know what I mean by leaders. Every one of us. God wants to do a beautiful work. God wants to do a beautiful work. And we need revival. We need revival. Time to rededicate ourselves. Say, Lord, whatever's in the past, forgive me. Help me to go forward. Can't change the past. It happened. It's there. But we can certainly do something about today and tomorrow. With God's help. With God's help. Will He give us the grace, the forgiveness, the strength we need? Yes, He will. Through Hezekiah's leadership, the people came back to God. Through the leadership in this church, we can come back to the Lord and be where He wants us to be. I pray the Lord help us this morning. In His name be praised. Amen.